So there are lessons in metaphysics that come from this teaching they don't come from this teaching. Actually, the lessons are as old can be. We just happen to package them in a way that speaks to us currently. We don't teach anything new. Actually, everything we teach is old. It's extremely old. And that's the beauty of it, because that which is consistent, you know, must have some life and some value, because there's only so much truth to go around. You know, when someone comes up with some new great idea, have suspect. Because the strongest, the most potent truth is that which has been here forever. But there are certain truths that when you first hear them, they sound like a good and fun idea. Oh, this is nice. It's nice to be nice to everybody, right? Being nice. But you don't get everything at the same level that you do as you continue your growth. As you stay on the path and you become more available to yourself, to spirit, to spirit's influence, as you do your healing work, the same truth that you learned the first day you walked into a center suddenly has new life, new brilliance to it, and it's much more potent, even though it's not anything new. Except you hear it with new ears and new eyes. So, having gratitude and having a gratitude practice is old. It's old. You've been listening to this. You have read articles about it in O Magazine. You've heard it on Oprah. You've heard it with Dr. Phil, probably. You've seen it. You've participated in it. And it seems like, oh, this is a nice thing to do. I'm here to tell you that being of gratitude is much more than nice. There is a potency to this practice that surpasses niceness, that surpasses even just being smart. When you live from the vibration of gratitude, you transform everything that is around you. Everything that is around you. So I'm going to take you on a little journey. So if you'll come with me, I want you to close your eyes. And if you will, imagine yourself, let's just put yourself on a beach somewhere, walking in some beautiful place, wherever that is for you. See yourself walking along, feeling absolutely at peace. And as you're walking, there's something in front of you, a few feet up ahead, and you could tell it's something odd, it's something different. And when you get a little closer to it, you're intrigued by it. But as you go to touch it, the outside of it is prickly. But your curiosity has the better of you. So you pick it up and you start to handle it. And it continues to be a little prickly and it hurts a little bit. But something is calling to you to look inside. So you find a little tear in the covering of this thing. And you begin to pick at it just a tiny bit. And as you peel away one small piece of it, you see something shiny and beautiful. Now, even though the balance of it is still prickly, now you continue to peel. And as you peel away a little bit at a time, this beautiful, golden, shiny box reveals itself. And you don't leave, your attention is solidly on this. And you don't stop until it is completely uncovered. And so there you are, sitting on this beach. And the outside covering is peeled away. And you have this gift in your hands. And you take a breath and you open the box. And as you open it, there is a recording that says, God loves you. And you are perfect as you are. So I ask you, was it worth going through, peeling away the prickliness to get to that gift? When you're ready, open your eyes. Every time you have a tough relationship, you have that person that gnaws at you. When you have an ex, when you have a defiant child, when you have a boss that's a control freak, or so you think, because remember, it's our perception. Every time you find yourself in relationship with anyone that has that prickly feel to it, there is within that relationship a gift. I promise you that that's the truth. I promise you that within every relationship is an abundance of your own self-love and self-acceptance if you're willing to go through that to get it. Do you believe me?
Yes.
Because it's the truth. And the way we stay with it often to get to it is we ask ourselves the question, well, this is what I prompt you usually to ask, who will I be when I am handling this powerfully? Who will I be when this is healed? Do you understand? So what happens is, if practice on a regular basis, you will no longer see that person as a conflict, but you will be excited as hell because you'll know that every time you go past that prickly packaging, there's an aspect of you that only lived inside that person. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are aspects of you that live inside of other people, and the only way you get to them is by going through that kind of packaging, that annoyance. Of course, that's all created in your mind. It's created in your perception. It's created by what you bring to the relationship. You're in charge of that. So what you call it is what you experience it, and you have to remember that to be true. But if every single time this new person showed up, or an old person, actually, it's usually the old people. I don't mean old as in age, but I mean the familiar. That's not what I meant. Sorry about that. The familiar relationships show up. The ones that have been getting your goat for a long time. Stop cursing the relationship. And go inside your heart and start to be thankful. Now, I tell you this from a place of absolute and complete experience. There are individuals, I mean, face it, I have an opportunity here with what I do currently. I mean, and many of you probably have similar positions in your jobs or your roles or whatever you do in your life, you know, because we meet many people. But, you know, the role that I play is kind of like a catch-all for people's stuff. It really can be. You know, it's like I'm Velcro and people love to throw their stuff on me. And they're convinced it's me very often. You know, and I'm not saying I have part of that relationship, as always, because there's always two parts of the relationship. But when I am able to powerfully stay in relationship with someone, when I am able to powerfully stay in conversation with someone who wants more of their lives than just to survive, and they want to be a powerful place of healing and transformation for themselves and for the world, then what happens is I can have a really potent conversation with someone where I can find out where we are in collusion to play small. When you love somebody enough, you will have a conversation about what your stuff is with that person without blame, without the temptation to blame, and you will hang in that conversation long enough until you find out, wow, what am I adding to this relationship? Why are we in discord? And you will ask the questions of yourself and of each other, because when there's enough love there, you stay in the love and you pull that from each other. You understand what I'm saying? We too often collude in smallness. And this is one of the ways we do this. I won't pay attention to the fact that you didn't do what you said you were going to do if you don't mention that I didn't do what I said I was going to do. But you don't say that out loud. You kind of just kind of go like this and you hope, well, maybe I didn't notice that I didn't, you know, do whatever. And so instead of being in my fullness and in my biggest experience of who I could be, I play small and I let you play small, because if I let you play small, you won't notice that I'm playing small. Are you with me? The truth is, I've been speaking about our addiction to be nice for a long time. We want to be nice because we want to be liked. You know what? I got news for you. Being liked is not as tasty as being in a powerful relationship with you. You understand? With each other. Husbands and wives. Children and parents. Any relationship. Any relationship has the opportunity to be more if you show up with that relationship owning your stuff and willing to say, who are you in this, and who am I in this, and who have we been together? And here's the thing. When you finally are willing to be uncomfortable, bravely, courageously, someone else gets to shine. You're trusting that the presence and the power of God within that person is going to rise up and be present. I can't get there if I'm just being nice. I can only get there with you, and you can only get there if I call out that space from within you, if I call out from within you that stuff. Do you understand what I'm saying? For example, if Bill Sarnowski here, my board president, I'll pick on him because he can handle it. If he's consistently late to every board meeting, consistently late, and I'm busy being nice, what happens? He continues to be nice, and he continues to be late. Now, he might like me for that, but do I call him to being a bigger leader? Do I call him out by saying, it's okay, I know, you got an excuse. But no, if I look at him and say, I'm going to be more of me, because I'm going to lovingly, compassionately call him to a higher expression, then I get to have gratitude for this relationship. And then I get to have gratitude for every relationship that I have that's in this room. So I've had some tough students. I've had students that asked that in the beginning would ask me 1,000 questions. I don't mind questions, but those students were the ones who made me better. You made me a better teacher. The people who didn't let me be, you know, play small, made me a better teacher. The people who have come up to me to give me feedback on things throughout the center in when there was discord or upset, made me a better minister. And as long as I was willing to stand in love, I was okay. So I get to have gratitude for every face of every person, of every practitioner, of every board member. I get to look upon your faces, not so much that I just love you, but you make me more because you bring a gift to me. I bring a gift to you, but I don't do that by being nice. I do that by saying, come on. Come on, let's be more together. So my gratitude is in every relationship, everything's a challenge now, is not really a challenge because I think, oh my God, I get to be more of me here. I get to be more organized, or I get to be a better at following through, or I get to be a better leader, or I get to be a better practitioner, whatever it might be. But by the pieces that you bring, that we bring to each other, if we look at each individual in our lives as a gift, and we have gratitude for every single relationship, bar none, the beauty, the power, the love is immense. It's immense. Now, we don't do this by critical, blameful language. It gets packaged in compassion. It gets packaged in love. It must be. But I recognize now that as my love and my compassion has grown, I'm actually able to say things to individuals that I wasn't always able to say, because the love precedes it. You with me? So I absolutely get to have gratitude for each one, and you get to do that with each other. You know, it's the difficult person in the room that grows you. That's the grit. You ever go to some place and there's that one individual that just like, oh my gosh. You grow patience. You grow acceptance when that person's there, right? If it wasn't for that person, you wouldn't be able to feel the agitation. If you don't feel the agitation, if you're not willing to embrace the agitation, then you don't get to grow through it. Faith is tied into gratitude so completely. It's 100% integrated. Because while I'm having gratitude for, and let's stay right here, right now. While I have gratitude for each person here, each of you, whether you know me yet or not, I know that within each of you that you're here with something for me, some aspect of me, which is an aspect of God. So my faith precedes all my relationships. My faith that you are for my good precedes all my relationships. If you walk in here, you walk out, and you decide, I don't like her, I have to grow to be okay, don't I? Don't I have, I mean, either that or I could just let myself be completely destroyed all the time. I don't vote for that one. But if I'm doing my work and being who I want to be in this, then I am going to be grateful for every single relationship. And this center and a community like this has those relationships. Our potency is specifically here because I teach the Four Agreements so completely, so much of the time. Our potency of a center is that many of us have truly learned to accept responsibility for what we're feeling. That we generate it, that I generate my discord. If you show up, you haven't brought me discord. You've brought me a gift that lets me know it's still alive in me. It's mine. It's nowhere else. My consciousness, my state of being. So I get to be the healing. I get to be the gratitude. I get to be the consciousness of gratitude that says, thank you for showing me me. Are you with me? It won't always feel good. It won't always be the shiny box. It will be prickly some of the time. Growth can be ugly. You ever witness a birth? Not a pretty sight. All right? I mean, I'm serious. It's not pretty. And the smell can be awful. But that's birth. That's what happens in birth. And then out of this is this life. Oh, my God, is this life that upon witnessing it, you'll never feel the same again. It transforms you. Your everyday, moment-to-moment relationships have a gift, every one of them, with every person, all the time. And when you move from you're the reason why I don't feel good to thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, and it's funny, there's lots of opportunities here for me to play small or to feel less than. I had to learn for a long time to not read your faces or to not think that you were approving or disapproving of me by out here, because I could make myself crazy. Oh, he's not smiling, she's not smiling. I mean, I could really make myself nuts. And I had to really pull away from thinking that you were telling me something by maybe, because some people sit there, actually some people will close their eyes very often because they take the message in that way. How do I read that? Oh, I'm boring them, they're going to sleep. Okay, so initially there was a lot of insecurity on my part. And there was an old story, who was that? Was that Danny Kaye? The old story about Danny Kaye, right? It wasn't Danny Kaye? All right, let's use it. Really? Do you know who Danny Kaye is? Some of you will, not everybody will. Red Skelton. Red Skelton, thank you. You know who Red Skelton is? Okay. Not everybody's going to know who Red Skelton is. Delightful, though, delightful comedian, old comedian. And there was this classic story one time that he was doing his shtick. He was at a show. And he was pulling out his stuff, and he was doing his thing. And, you know, a lot of the audience was funny, but there was a person up front who was not laughing at all. And so for the balance of the show, his thing became, make that person laugh, which he never succeeded in doing. And so he left the show feeling, about this big. And what happened was after the show, this person came to the back door and let him know that he had been in an accident. He was not able to smell. Or smile. He wasn't able to do either. But he wasn't able to smile. He didn't have the muscles to smile. He had had an accident. So you were not going to get him to smile whether you stood on your head and whistled Dixie. And that was a lesson that he realized he'll never do that again. You don't know what someone brings to the table. You don't know what's going on for them in that day. The other day, I found out something that had nothing to do with me. I was talking to a colleague who reported me about something that had transpired. And this thing had nothing to do with me. I wasn't there. I wasn't in on it. I didn't know about it. You hearing the issue a little bit? Which, what I turned into, I wasn't invited. I wasn't wanted. I wasn't needed. My opinion wasn't asked. So for a few moments of time, I took this event that had nothing to do with me and started to turn it into it had everything to do with me, and I sucked. And then I did the comparison thing with who was invited to the table. Now, none of this took very long because, thank God, I don't wallow anymore. But what I realized is that I was making myself, I was creating all of that pain, and the criticism that I even snuck in about how come they didn't invite me, or, you know, they never liked me anyway, and I never, you know, blah, 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 blah. It was a real insane moment. I created all that pain and suffering in my own mind within that couple of moments of something had nothing to do with me. Do you know what I'm talking about? Anybody do that? Let's stop doing that. Let's just stop doing that. Let's stop making up stories about people's stuff. Just stop it. You know? Because that's what I finally did in my mind. It was like, just stop it. Shut up. You know, there should have been somebody else there to slap me in the back of the head, like, what are you thinking? Because I didn't want to do that to them. I didn't need to make them wrong. Now, this entire thing took, I'm proud to say, minutes. This could have taken weeks in my earlier part of my journey. It could have. I could have continued to think about it. I didn't even call somebody about this. See, that's the real thing. I might have wanted to get an ear, get some advice. Let's pray around it. Oh, just shut up. have to pray around something that doesn't exist. I was doing it, so I undid it, and it happened in a moment of time. And I'm telling you, you can do the same thing. You can cease being in pain by choosing to be in love and by being grateful, by being gratitude itself and by being grateful for every person in your life right now, bar none, no matter how justified you think for separating yourself from them. Love them. If you can't love them, do no harm. Sometimes you can't get to the place of absolute love, but you can at least do no harm. And do no harm means don't criticize, don't judge. Hold that back. Honor them. And then in your heart and in your mind, say thank you. So just briefly, let's practice this real quick. Turn to a couple of people next to you and say thank you. Now, right now, I want you to be thankful for your mother. Think that out loud right now. Be thankful for your mother. And I don't care what you think she did or did not give you. Be thankful for your mother right now. Thank you, Mom. Be thankful for your father. No excuses, no stories. Let's get out of the stories. Be thankful for your ancestors, all of them. Yes. Be thankful to your bosses because they're in your life for a reason. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to your husbands and or wives or partners. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to your religious leaders that maybe you had issues with or currently. Thank you. Be thankful to the political leaders in the country, whether you voted for them or not. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The attitude of gratitude is real. It's alive. And when you get it in every cell and when you activate it by applying it before you understand it, then it's really potent. Are you with me? And so it is. Thank you. So if we could have the choir, come on up. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to create one line of connection that everybody in the center, I'm going to hold your hand, Brenda. Everyone in the center is connected to. You can move closer. Yep. And get, yep. Choir, would you connect up there? Come on, Joe in the back and Gerald. Now you got to connect to everybody else. One line, one connection. Yeah, there you go. One circuit, one vibration of love, one vibration of possibility, one vibration of gratitude. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the good that is here. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this country that we live in. Thank you for our body temple. Thank you for all the love and even all the struggle. Thank you for everyone in my life that brings me joy, and thank you for those who have grown me. Thank you, God, for the gifts that are obvious and the ones that come in prickly packages. Thank you, God, for streetlights and paved roads and running water. Thank you, God, for being available. Thank you to our intelligence. Being the attitude of gratitude, being the full consciousness of gratitude. I live in and from that vibration today and every day, and I know for each one of us here, as we cultivate that attitude of gratitude, our good grows and multiplies, as we call today good and very, very good. This is a day filled with grace, and as this holiday season comes and this holy season comes, let us look at every single family member that comes to us with through the eyes of love, through the eyes of gratitude. I declare for you that you do not allow anyone to show you anything other than your love. Be the solution by being gratitude. We're all just trying to get along. We're all just trying to survive, and sometimes for some of us it's really hard. So sometimes at the best that we can, our best is not a lot. Sometimes. Let us love each other to a higher way of being. Let us love ourselves to a higher way of being. Let us be the vibration of possibility now and always. Let us, on this day of Thanksgiving that is coming, truly live in and from gratitude. May you bring this to your dining room table. May you greet each person with this gratitude in your heart, with the love in your heart. May you say a blessing on that day and thank everyone for being around that table. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. To the indwelling place where God resides within. For this and so much more, I do give my thanks. And so it is. Amen.